Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
We left our friends in a perilous scene where everybody except Sullivan Slight and Glim were...
Taking naps, slackers.
Taking naps on the job.
Moot
makes an electric appearance.
I'm imagining him coming down, like floating down, but like he's got a harness on. There's for sure wires. Oh, buddy, don't look too closely at some of these guys. They look like they may be your friends. But they were your friends.
Yeah, no, I see that.
Don't look.
Well,
he said don't.
I was here before you. I saw.
We cut ahead as you're being led out of the cavern that you're in. And you pass by various pictograms on the walls showing images that look very similar to the mind flayers coming up from what looks like some underdark region with a figure hovering around and above them that looks very reminiscent of Orcus and his goat-like hideous face. And you see the mountain before you a little bit closer than it was before. And Madamar leads you down and towards Mount Celestia.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. He, him. Also with me today is Sassy Amy Moore.
Ooh, okay. I will have to live up to... So sassy. Shut up. I don't know. I'm Amy. She, her. And I play Sullivan Slate. He, him.
And Tom Laird.
Shut up. He, him. And I am playing Moot today. who also goes by he, him.
And Carla Maxted.
Shut up. She, her, playing Glim, who also goes by she, her. You happy you started this, Russ?
Yeah. I didn't start
but
it.
Well, I mean, did you?
And joining us again tonight, it's Kristen Flemons.
Shut up.
Oh, four times, no.
Kristen, she, her, playing Agath, godlost, Catho Lavi, she, her. Also, Rax.
How would Rax say shut up? Like it.
It's good. Yeah, and just with his like general demeanor, I feel like he's
kind of
always like
you with his eyes.
Sassy, like butt wiggle, tail flip, I think also.
Love it.
Yeah, there's a definite sass vibe going on tonight. I like it. And I like how we started with just a round of shut up, which is great for an audio podcast.
We're going to sing some Black Eyed Peas later, though, so it'll be fine.
It's a trek up the mountain, but a silent trek because there's apparently nothing else to talk about anymore. So it's just 45 minutes of just weather's nice.
Maybe a guided meditation?
Yeah.
Visualization?
Love it. This one brought to you by Calm. Use promo code Dungeons. Get 10% off, I think, maybe. I can't remember what the deal is. I should probably look that up because I think we're due for some ads. Okay, bye.
No, don't say bye. You can stick around.
We can't start with shut up and goodbye.
Yeah, who's sassy now? Calm down over there, Mr. Sassy Pants.
Where I am told that I can be sassy is over on Patreon. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where you get access to an exclusive patrons-only podcast called The Adventures of. Somebody else tell people about it, because I'm not sassy enough in this moment to tell them about it, because I'm not in that mood.
Well, if you've been following this Darkest Timeline storyline, you've run into the character of Opal Light Bright Glyphs, and that is one of the three main characters of The Adventures of, our Patreon game. So you can see Russ and all his shenanigan laden glory over on Patreon.
Unhinged is also a term.
Unhinged.
That has,
yes, that is great. Yeah.
When you are a patron, you also get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Ben Essie.
Thanks, Ben. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ben. It could also be Ben S and a silent E, but I liked the E on the end. So,
you know who doesn't have to shut up? Ben. They can just keep on talking. They sound great.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ben. Join us today at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And now, fuck it. Let's play. Shut up. I did it.
One of us.
I'm playing the game, too. Woo. Agoth and Matamar, you hear the sound of pebbles that are falling down, tumbling down after you as you hit the bottom of this cavern that you two have fallen down into.
Oh.
The ground behind you collapsed. You're in pitch blackness. I don't know if you have dark night vision.
You see Batman wherever you go.
That's when you watch Christopher Nolan movies on your phone.
Yeah. I don't.
Perfect. It is pitch. It is pitch black.
Hold on. Yeah. Did Rax fall?
No, I didn't say Rax. I said.
Okay. Well, I didn't know she was riding him.
I'm glad because it would have been really extra dangerous for Rax
fall in a crevasse. Horses break legs like that, man. Yeah. It'd be a whole thing.
I got that. Helped you get that bridge across the horse. Yeah. Wait.
Yep. That's what we did.
Yeah.
That's what we did.
It was a challenge,
it was a whole episode where we got a bridge across a horse.
I mean, it was a popsicle bridge, if we're going to be honest about it.
Yeah, it was. It was difficult, though. The two of you land. You're going to take 10 bludgeoning.
How far did we fall?
It's tough to tell, but you felt like you fell probably 40 or 50 feet down a rocky embankment that had just, like, opened up beneath you. For everybody else, as you are collecting yourself down at the bottom, you see Agoth and Matamar, who are ahead a little bit in line, and they fall into this sinkhole that quickly fills itself in behind you. You're in this forested area, and we're walking along this path up the hill. You are on an upward motion, up the mountain, rather, in an upward motion, finally, after much, much travel.
Have we been resting while we've been traveling, or just much, much travel?
You tell me. Do you take normal rests, or are you booking it to Bahamut? Because if you're booking it to Bahamut, there's some exhaustion we could imply here, but maybe you rested.
Well, I'm feeling like Sully would definitely rest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I think it was really hot.
Yeah.
Sit down for a second.
You have been traveling for several days, so.
Okay, good. Okay, long rest it is.
Just to clarify, we've fallen down into the sinkhole and now it's covered in again?
Yeah, so not like an entity, but like you fell in and then it collapsed behind you.
Okay, so are we in danger of this whole thing like filling up with earth, or is it where it's a...
Was it like an underground cave?
Are we about to be buried alive?
You don't believe so.
Okay.
Like the ground around it filled in and kind of like followed you down a little ways, but hit a bottleneck or like a stopping point. And that was the kind of pebbles following down behind you. So there isn't a rush of earth coming down behind you. You feel like, based on the reverb in the room, that you're probably in a cavern between 30 and 40 feet across. Feels very open. There is a trickling of an underground stream at most. This is not a beautiful day, and it is not a crickling creek down the thing. So we're not repeating what we've already done. I realize that is the same descriptor I gave you last time.
Okay. So Agoth will let out a string of curses and dust her shoulders off and go digging in her pack for a torch, which I have just seen in my inventory.
Perfect.
And ignite said torch to get a nice look at our non-crickling creek.
The light ablaze. You see Matamar, who appears to be in some state of unconsciousness, about 10 feet from you. There is like a water running down one of the walls off into your right. You're uncertain of exactly which direction anything is, but there, and it's coming down off the wall and like running across this cavern. On the other side of the cavern, there are a couple of different openings leading out of this space.
Okay. Agoth will go over and check for obvious head, neck, spine injuries before
violently shaking Madamar.
Gently shaking Madamar as gently as she can, which is probably not that gentle.
Sure. Well, if we're checking for injuries, maybe roll a medicine check.
Okie dokes. Oh, my goodness.
Are you a doctor?
I rolled a 6, but I got a +9 to medicine.
Wow. Hello.
So that's a 15.
So you're a doctor.
Agoth is a doctor.
Yeah.
You check Matamar over. There doesn't appear to be any head, neck, or spine injuries. There are some light abrasions on his arms and legs, a little bit of blood, but nothing that appears life-threatening if you were to shake them.
Okay. Matamar. Matamar. Little slaps on the cheeks.
Oh, that hurt. What happened?
We have apparently fallen.
Yeah, no, I got that. Where are we? Oh.
Underground.
Okay, where's everybody else?
Not here.
Okay. Great.
We are alone.
Oh, okay, well.
Can you stand?
I think so. He
gets up and kind of limps to his feet and appears to be able to stand and walk.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. Nothing feels broken. Where did we fall down from? Can we climb back up? Like,
I'll hoist the torch. How does it look?
Where you presume you fell, because there's still a little bit of movement in the earth. Mm-hmm. There is like what appears to be a formation of a cave opening, but it has collapsed in on itself. Doesn't appear completely stable, but it doesn't seem to be falling down towards you at this moment. You don't see any daylight, so you can assume that it is quite a long distance, or at least heavily packed in the area that you came down.
I must say, it does not look promising.
Okay, well, if you can't go up, I guess we gotta go through, right? It's gotta come out somewhere. There's a stream.
I concur. I will, before we start moving, try and holler up to the group to see if anybody can hear or communicate. I'll try not to actually yell in my microphone. Rex! Sully! Limekins!
Nothing.
Some more pebbles kind of fall down. I don't think they can hear us. And if they can, they're being very quiet. Like it's a good game of hide and go seek. And it's kind of rude of them to throw us down a hole, though.
Extremely.
Yeah.
Against the rules of any game of hide and seek I have played.
Yeah. Well, it's like a real extreme version where you bury the person alive and call somebody and say, this is where they are. Here's the coordinates, and you gotta go find them. That movie with Ryan Reynolds. What was that called? I think Buried? That's, you know, kind of apt there.
Agoth is just sort of like cocking an eyebrow at Matamar as he rambles. But trust that when the Goliath play hide and seek, it is the most hardcore version of the game.
Oh, okay.
And even this would be considered inappropriate.
Too hardcore. If you're not hardcore, if you live hardcore. Okay, do we go left or right?
How does the cavern look, upstream or downstream? Is there a noticeable difference?
Not exceptionally. It's kind of passing from your right to your left in this cavern. So there is like a smallish passageway where it's kind of coming in and out and off the wall. But again, two bisecting tunnels that you could go down.
Well, upstream, we are more likely to continue upwards towards our goal. Downstream, perhaps we are more likely to find an exit large enough for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. What do you think our friends will do? Do you think they'll keep going up, or do you think they'll go down?
I am not well enough acquainted with them.
Oh, well, didn't you guys travel through time together? Like, that seems like you're pretty close.
It is a surprisingly short acquaintance, regardless of the time travel. Downstream.
Let's go. You head off down the tunnel system leading more downstream, which would be to your left. And we cut back up to the surface. Everything's just caved in.
Holy shit.
What happened? Where'd they go?
Is everyone okay?
Yeah, I'm feeling good, but we're down too.
Yeah, we've lost a couple of people, so... But I'm, like, we're all okay, right?
Well, yeah, this is one instance where being at the back of the line and being really slow and small kind of was to my benefit.
Okay, so who has a shovel? Because I figure we can just start shoveling and, like, we'll just get right down there.
I've got a spoon.
Okay, does anyone have...
This is like a small shovel.
It got me out of prison one time.
Technically, yes, but it's so... And I mean, Glim grabs it and it's like, it's so tiny in her hand because it's...
Well, I'm just a small goblin.
I know, I'm just saying for...
Well, also, do we want to start digging here? Because, there was a time when I used to dig graves, and... For a short period, it wasn't like a huge thing that I did, but as a gravery, we would dig through holes. But what I noticed was if there was already a hole where I was digging, I fell in.
Oh, right. And also, like, they're down there and we don't.
Wait, Sully, were you digging to rob the graves?
No, it was a job.
But so. You would fall in, so you're standing directly above the hole that you were digging?
Sometimes the hole was, like, already under the ground, but somehow had caved in on itself from above. No one quite knows the mechanics of how a sinkhole can indeed cover itself back up, but it happens more than you think.
Really?
And as you dig into it, it just all, you know, into itself, and then you go along with it, which is seems to be exactly what happened here.
This is a very relatable situation for you. I'm glad we have you along on this ride, Sully.
For sure. So I don't know if digging through here, if that's just going to get us stuck underground. We're kind of on a mission here. There's at least one really capable person down there.
Guaranteed only one.
I barely know Madama. So, you know, I'm not going to say anything. Although... Kind of wimped out when we had to murder all of his friends and family and stuff. I'm just saying.
Okay, too soon. Like, he was very, like, emotional, and we agreed to take care of that.
I did not say that in front of him. Actually, we have not yet. Hello?
Hello?
You guys?
Anyone?
Don't animals have real good hearing? Can, like, Rax, can you hear them? Can you understand me? Do you know what I'm saying?
Rax just starts maybe chewing on some of Sully's hair.
I don't think he speaks English.
No, I mean, probably has basic commands down, more like a pet than anything.
Well, and I assume if they were...
He bears his teeth at Flamikins.
Not a pet, an independent entity that tags along with a humanoid figure.
Well, I think that if he could hear her, like, he'd be pricking his ears and stuff. So they must be real far down there is what I'm saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Rax, can you hear?
Well, no, what I mean is if they were screaming,
down there, he'd probably be like, oh, and like trying to get to his person, is right. what I'm saying. But he's not, he's eating my hair like right now as we speak. So I don't think that.
No, not this yet.
I think Sully's right. I think if Rax had better hearing than us and was able to pick it up, he would be behaving a little bit differently.
Right.
Instead of just, you know, his usual casual self.
Very casual, very concerned.
He's real cash.
Yeah.
So they must be so far down that even the horse can't hear it. So, like, do we go down after them? Do we trust that they're gonna get out?
Are you saying we leave them behind?
No. I'm putting out our option.
Is this one of those times where you don't want to say the bad thing in front of me, so you're all just talking around it, and, like, you all think they're dead down there? Is that what's happening? I hope not.
No, I don't think they're dead.
I mean, I know.
Sully did just relate this to digging a grave, though.
Well,
that is true.
Yeah. It's just, okay, I'm glad we're all on the same page. They're definitely alive. They're totally fine.
For sure.
I mean, for sure Agath is.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
Well,
fall, not a problem. Matamar.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, seems like he bruised like a peach.
Like a strong wind could knock that guy over.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are our options here? We've got the path ahead of us. We've got the forest around us. We've been traveling for a while. We've seen a river in a little bit.
I've been looking at, like, lots of trees and birds and mostly, like, the dirt on the path in front of me. I will be the first to admit that I have a couple faults, and observational skills is not on my list of strengths.
Well, it's good to know where you're strong and where you just aren't paying attention.
Well, I mean, last night when we made camp, we got fresh water, so...
Yeah.
You know, we're on a mountain. There's got to be rivers and streams heading down.
Sure.
Unless everything is totally different here in Celestia, which I guess is totally possible. Like, maybe rivers flow uphill. I don't know.
I think we probably wouldn't know. When I say we would have noticed, I mean you guys would have noticed if the stream was running uphill. You probably would have been like, that's weird.
Mm. Yeah, I don't recall that happening.
No.
So... Seems gravity still acting as gravity does.
Great.
Okay, so either we have to go down and get them, or they're going to get out on their own.
Yep, that seems like what's going to happen.
Should we, like, vote, or...
So do we wait for them to get out?
Well, are they going to get out through here?
Like, a hand's
going
to come out? I don't know.
That would be terrifying. Wouldn't that be so scary?
They could.
I know, we'd think it'd be undead coming, and, like, that's a bit fresh for us.
Wait, did that ever happen when you were a gravery?
No, but if I was, I'd chop that hand off. Do you hear that, Agath? I'd chop it off. Just in case she's, like, right there and was about to put a hand up. And
was, like, waiting
for
the right moment.
I'm going to say, like, what if they are trapped within the earth?
Oh my god, then we probably have to dig them out because they're buried alive.
These are options.
Well, that I did
we
not.
We seem very nonchalant about it.
Get your spoon, I guess.
Yeah, I think, Glim's going to start, like, just with her hands digging. I looked, I don't think she has anything helpful. I mean, in my mind, I have one of those, like, folding backpacking shovels, you know, to, like, bury my poop in the woods, but... I don't know that that's a fantasy item.
If Lipsinky was here.
Yes, exactly. We really need Lipsinky. But yeah, I think Glim's is going to start, digging, just moving earth to try and get to them. But I could use my war pick, like the pick part to like, I mean, the dirt's probably pretty loose because it already fell, but like I'm working with what tools I got here.
Sure.
I have a hammer.
God.
I'll start scraping the dirt away with the hammer.
This reminds me of some time when I was, like, trapped under the ground because of, like, a job that we were on. And, I needed to get back up and out. So, like, I just used some magic and I, like, parted the earth and moved it around me. But, like, that doesn't seem like something that's relevant to this situation.
Oh, my God.
If only there was somebody with us.
Wait, what?
Who could move dirt, like, magically.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool.
Oh, it'd be so helpful.
Oh my God,
because...
Luke, can you do that?
I mean, probably not, but let's take a look.
Flamingkins, you can do that.
I can.
Well, you just said you did it once.
Yeah,
can you not?
Did
you forget how?
Well, I didn't do it again since then. Like, it was kind of that one-time thing that I can move the earth.
Well, that's great, because I can't.
Nor can I, except with
neither.
This hammer, and not well.
Okay, well, just give me a second here, and I'll see what I can do.
And Flamekins begins to cast Mold Earth beneath her. So you can target an area of loose earth. You can instantly excavate it, move it along the ground, and deposit it up to 5 feet away.
Sounds perfect.
Super fucking
5 foot cube. So we're going to be here a little while, but it can happen.
Okay. I feel like we're making some real... Yeah, okay, I'm going to put the dirt over there, and then you just use your shovel to just make sure that it's back far enough, okay?
You mean your spoon?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. You can embiggen it, right? The spoon, that is.
Oh, yeah, I could probably do something like
that.
Look
at us doing cool shit that's on our character sheet.
Remember how there's magic in D&D?
That's crazy. I can't do that stuff.
I mean, I used to have something in that neighborhood. I'm just checking my spell list here.
I feel like I'll regret this when Russ kills me, but I could also take off, like, my chest plate and use that as, like, a big scoop. Right? That's going to be more effective at moving loose earth. And
it was.
Immediately, yeah, as you remove it, there
an
is
arrow flies out of nowhere. Fuck.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. ArmorAll, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, I do have the enlarge spell.
Great. Here, make this spoon bigger for Glim.
Let's do it. So, yeah, I go ahead and cast enlarge on the spoon, and it becomes a much larger spoon, but still is not like a full-size shovel yet.
How big can you make that?
I can basically, like, double the size of things.
So it's a really big...
So it's a regular size spoon.
Now it's like a regular size spoon. So if we were just about to have soup, this would be perfect.
I mean, that is
what
really...
What level is that spell?
Second level.
Sweet.
Do you have to roll for wild magic now?
Sure does.
Uh-huh. It's a lot more impressive when it's cast on a person.
Yeah,
because the person
totally.
Goes anything. From like medium to large size, yeah. As opposed to just a spoon
from a
to a bigger
it's
spoon.
It's gone to like one of those collectibles, yeah. You know, that
totally.
Are really
right. Just
always
right.
Regular to just your average spoon.
Yep. Love this. We cut.
While all that is happening, yeah. Is there anything audible like down in the cavern that might stop Agath and Matamar from happily trekking away? Or doop a doop a doop a doo.
I don't know at that moment, just because we stated that it's pretty far up. So
we
you
talked
would've...
about it for so long.
Yeah, and they talked about. They were very nonplussed about it for such a long time as your friends disappeared. Like, so no, I think you have gone off. You maybe hear. I wouldn't say you'd hear like the mold earth. Like you hear like the movement of the like the underground tunnel sounds, like that kind of sound.
Oh, okay.
But nothing directly that you would relate to movement, shoveling, or otherwise. Mostly because it's a very tiny spoon that they're using before they start using the mold earth. But yeah, you we cut back down to you. You two are carrying on down this path, this corridor that follows the direction of the stream going back down the mountain, is what you can presume, as the stream is running. You're following the direction in which it's running, and as you're moving and continuing forward, there's like becomes this bioluminescence that begins to appear as along the walls. Becomes brighter and brighter the longer you walk down. And Matamar turns to you as it's been in appearance for quite a while and says, I don't know if I've ever seen this before. It seems kind of like something that's not in the tunnel systems that I live in. It's interesting.
It is quite beautiful in its way.
It is, yeah. It gives like a glimmer and a little more clarity in the situation. And as you continue to walk forward, it gets brighter. Make a perception check or whichever is higher, that or your passive perception.
So I rolled. It wasn't good. It's a 10. My passive perception is 13.
Okay. You feel like out of the corner of your eye, you see movement in the light that is being enlightened.
Can I go? Are there tiny little creatures in it?
Maybe.
I'm gonna go peer at it.
Yeah. So you kind of catch it out of the corner of your eye and begin to move closer to it. And as you are watching it, the movement disappears as you like begin to focus on it. But you look closer at it, and it looks like not just like the surface of this cavern, but like the actual walls of this cavern are giving this light, and the longer you observe it, if you continue to observe it, you do feel like not just whatever's appeared to be on the surface, but like the walls themselves are shifting around.
On second thought, this pathway now feels somewhat ominous.
Why?
It seems to be moving. Do you also observe this phenomenon?
Matamar moves over and is watching it intently. I'm gonna
poke the wall with like my blade.
No, man, spores.
With your blade?
Scared of.
Okay, make a dexterity saving throw.
What do I have in my nice. I'm going to just see what I actually have in my hand.
Actually, not a dexterity saving throw, a strength saving throw.
Sweet.
No worries then, right?
Yeah. Goliath.
Oh, there we go. Finally. Strength saving throw. Oh, I would have thought that would have been... Why is my wisdom and charisma so much higher than my strength?
Probably the cleric levels.
It's still a 21.
You begin to poke it with the blade, and you begin to feel like the wall closing around it, like with a quick motion, and yank it back. And as you do, there is this audible, high-pitched squeal that comes from it.
Sweet.
The walls themselves begin to contract.
I'm gonna scoop up Matamar under one arm and just start booking it back the way we came as much as is possible.
Back the way you came? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this way was a bust. We're going the other way.
Yeah.
No, no,
no.
This
way sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like it.
Love it. So yeah, you turn around and hightail. He's like, what happened? What was that noise? What's going on? Where are we going? Do we have to go down the mountain? No, okay, and you kind of look over your shoulder, or depending on how you scoop Matamar, maybe he can see, and he's like, hey, there's something back there. It's closing in. And you turn and you look as you're running, and like the cave is closing in, but as it like almost closes entirely, it expands again, and down at the end of the hall, illuminated by this bioluminescence, there's this figure that is like this hulking figure with these long, like sharp, jagged legs and arms. And it lets out the same kind of shrill screech that echoes down the hall. Make a wisdom saving throw, please.
What'd you do?
Oh, sweet. That is a 27.
Wow.
Dang.
Yeah, you feel...
all the wisdom. Are you tired of rolling my dice? You don't like them?
No, your dice rolled well. I just don't want to take all the good rolls from them.
That was
an 18 on the die. Yeah, I don't want to take those from
They might already be tapped
yeah.
out.
Yeah, that's it.
That was one. I did it. You're welcome. You have this, like, intense pain that that goes through your head as this scream like reverberates down the halls, and stones are coming loose as they're going. You make it back to you don't take any damage, but you manage to make back to the cavern in which you started. You do hear as you enter that cavern the sound of like of moving earth. You could equate it to just heavy stone movement coming from the area in which you presumed you had fallen.
Okay.
There's this lumbering thudding of footsteps tearing their way down behind you.
Sweet. I'm going to do what I realized I should have done after everybody was looking at their spells. I was like, huh, spells. I have thaumaturgy, so I'm going to make my voice real loud.
Okay.
And now that I can hear actually things happening up there, like,
it's a real hey you guys.
An extraction would be helpful. There are malicious entities down here.
Something about an extraction is imminent, and entities are it sounds bad. Probably like there's probing going on down there.
Probing? Oh my god.
Yeah.
Why would you assume there's probing going on?
Well, extraction, entities, panic.
Extraction means to take out. Probing is to put something in.
Okay, then somebody is probing a goth down there and we need to extract it. Like, hey guys, come extract this entity from my...
You gotta keep molding the earth, man. Oh, right. You can't get down there.
Okay.
Flamekins goes back to moving the earth. You hear the pace of that movement picking up in both speed and intensity above you as these lumbering footsteps and shrill cries like burst into this place, and you see it, and it's got like this mantis, like disfigured mantis face, and these long, sharp, jagged like pincer claws. That move with like these insectoid, almost they're insectoid like legs, but like there's flesh upon them, not just like an exoskeleton. And it's like decaying all the way down. Roll for initiative.
Alrighty, I will have tried to deposit Matamar somewhere back in the cavern. Sure. As
he's useless to you?
I'm assuming so, yeah.
You're on your own.
14.
Everybody else can roll. As soon as that opens, you will also be in initiative order.
8. Yep, there's mine. 2. plus 6. 8.
Solid.
Thanks.
11.
And Flamekins is at the top. So Flamekins begins, is continuing to pick up the pace. She's like, I feel movement beneath me. We gotta be getting close. A goth. This thing crashes in, lets out this cry. Stones are falling down the sides of the cavern, and it is making its way, like beelining straight towards you.
I have a vicious lance, which is very long. I guess I'm just walking around with an extremely long lance on my back at all times.
Maybe it's telescopic.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
There it is.
Pull it off and big old lance. I'm going to try and keep this thing at a distance. This doesn't look like it wants to be friends. I'm going to go for some bug kebabs.
Okay.
First attack is a 15.
That does not hit.
No. better. 21.
That will hit, yes.
That is 14 points of piercing damage.
You're aiming for like the center of this, yeah. The center mass. Yeah, you stab it in. As you do, you see more of that same luminescence, and it begins to pull on the blade.
Cool.
Pull on the lance into you.
I'm going to hit it one more time.
Okay.
Oh, never mind. No, I'm not. That was a 2.
No, you will not. In fact, it is... Make a strength check.
Okay. 6.
You feel the lance being pulled, like, into this creature away from you.
That's bad.
Yeah, so it's like... it's a long one, giving you a reach. It's like halfway, and you see it's like sticking out the other side of this creature, which doesn't seem as concerned about that as when you stabbed into it. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you can or would like to do?
Let's try it. You know, I experimented a little bit with magic since getting here. Not super comfortable with it yet, but Agath is gonna cast Spiritual Weapon.
Love it. So what does Spiritual Weapon do?
This is not exactly what I think Agath would do, but I really like the idea of a big bug swatter.
Yeah. That's I like that. That's good. Yeah.
A floating spectral fly swatter is gonna appear right behind our mantis friend, and I can make a melee spell attack with it when I cast it.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, that's a d12. That is the wrong dice. Where are my d20s?
Yeah, you're not going to hit very much with that.
18?
18 will hit.
5 bug swatty weapon. I think that is
probably radiant. Yeah.
Thank you. That's the word.
Awesome. Yeah, it swats down. You said it came up behind, so it swats down like onto the back of this thing. You see it sizzle, and like a flare of light comes up from behind it as this hits, and it lets out another shrill, like pained cry as that happens. It's the creature's turn now. So it charges towards you and is going to attack you with its pincer claws. That's going to be a 19 for the first one.
No.
21 for the second one.
Apparently no.
No? Oh, God.
Wow.
Let's see if it recharges that. It does. It's now, like, close proximity to you. It's going to let out another one of those screams into your face. Please make a wisdom saving throw.
Gladly. Damn. 26.
Okay, very wise. At this proximity, you're still going to take 4 psychic damage.
Not a problem.
And like like all the little bones in your ears are like vibrating back and forth. You kind of lose your balance for a brief moment. You're not affected, like a stunned or anything like that at this moment. But you sense like if you get lower or fail on that it could do some damage to you. We go to Moot. Flamekins has picked up the pace on moving this earth. You hear down below, all of you hear down below, an intense commotion. These cries from whatever this creature is are reverberating up and through the earth, so you sense that you're getting close. Is there anything that you can or would like to do to assist or encourage or speed up the process in any way?
As Flamekin is moving around this earth, there's probably like some loose earth here and there from all of this. I would like to use my gust cantrip.
Okay.
And create a small blast of air that's capable of moving. This is one object, but like it has to weigh no more than 5 pounds. And I'll say just a bunch of dirt that's like 5 pounds worth.
Okay.
Is that one object
too? Yeah, sure.
All right, perfect. And so I will do that.
Okay. You are moving earth off into the side, helping along quicker.
Ooh, I rolled a nat 20 on my wild magic. Oh,
you're doing okay then. Glim, same scenario for you. Moot is blowing the dirt away. Flamekins is actively molding it. You're spooning it.
No, I've been using my chest plate I took that
I'm
off.
I'm just saying, the spoon is so much better of a picture.
I know.
Okay. So you are using your actions to continue to dig. Sully.
Is just shouting words of encouragement at this point. There's like nothing that I think he maybe tried with the teeny spoon and was just like, oh, what the fuck is this? Come on, you guys are doing great. Moot, blow harder. You're doing great, Glim. Like, my goodness. Just that's going to get everywhere, though. That's going to be all up in you. Flamey, can you do it? Not over here. Not over here.
Sorry.
I'm like looking through. Everyone's like, I'm looking through my spell sheet. And I was like, okay, I'm going to check my inventory. Where the fuck did I get an absorbing tattoo from?
Whoa, what is that?
Welcome to the middle. You know what's great is moving your microphone while you're doing it, so you try to avoid any like clicks or stuff. So there's probably some in that little song there. Hey everybody, it's me, just hanging out with you in the middle here. Not a huge party in the middle, except for the fact that you and I are here, and that is the biggest party. And today I have a show that I am very excited about sharing with you. It's called Adventure Incorporated. It's D&D actual play podcast, because that's what we love to share. That's what we love to play. That's who we are. And Adventure Inc. has an expansive lore set in a deep fantasy world, thoughtful storytelling, surprising twists, and ridiculous players. What does that sound like? It sounds like a good time is what it does. If you listen to them, of course, they have an amazing show that you want to go follow and subscribe and like and share and do all that great stuff with. But they invited me to come play at their table for some of their Patreon content, and I got to go on a stream with them, and they are just the most delightful people. And I want you to go pull up a seat at their table every Monday as the adventure for them continues. So go find Adventure Incorporated anywhere you listen to podcasts. I'm going to put a link down in the descriptions for you for this episode here, so you can go find it super easy. Adventure Incorporated. They are lovely people. They play a lovely show, and I want you to go listen to them. That's it for the middle. Let's get you back to the episode. Okay, thanks. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
Meryl Streep and Paul Rudd join the crime-solving trio of Steve Martin, Martin Short, and Selena Gomez for the best season to date of Hulu's Only Murders in the Building. The series is for your Emmy consideration in all categories, including Outstanding Comedy Series, Outstanding Lead Actor and Actress in a Comedy Series for Martin, Short, and Gomez, and Outstanding Supporting Actor and Actress for Rudd and Streep. For more information, visit fyc.hulu.com.
This episode is brought to you by Buffalo Trace Distillery. Powerful yet smooth. Contained but never tame. Proudly going their own way, but never going alone. This is the spirit inside Buffalo Trace Bourbon. Made at Buffalo Trace Distillery, the world's most award-winning distillery. Buffalo Trace is always perfectly untamed. Distilled, aged, and bottled by Buffalo Trace Distillery, Franklin County, Kentucky. 90 proof, 45% alcohol by volume. Learn more at buffalotracedistillery.com. Please drink responsibly.
You got an absorbing
That's
tattoo.
Nothing I looked up. Like, I don't know how that ended
it
up
might
in
have,
here.
Might have been something that I added to Sheets, because I think I went in and added some things to Sheets without telling anybody.
Yeah,
so.
You definitely did.
Maybe. So maybe take a look through your things. Maybe I put some presents in there. I don't know.
I've been reading my character sheet and like, damn, I got all kinds of cool stuff that we've certainly never used before. Nothing for digging, though.
Yeah. No, yeah. And this tattoo shovel won't help anybody dig anything.
Back down in the cavern, Matamar, who has a slingshot, unbeknownst to anybody else, is going to take a shot at the head of this creature for a 22.
Ooh.
Oh, well done, bud.
Wow.
I was going to say, he's going to put someone's eye out.
Well, I mean, that's entirely possible, too.
Especially when the eyes are big compound eyes.
Oh, yeah.
That is only 2 damage, but does hit pretty squarely like into one of the eyes of this creature.
How irritating.
Very irritating. And you're so close to it, Agat, that you see it hit and like it shakes its head. And turns and looks at Matamar, who at that moment, as it turns and looks, is like, oh, fuck. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to be good. And he takes his movement to try to hide in some of the rubble, but unfortunately does not hide well enough, so you can still kind of see
a little teddy bear poof poking out. It just covers his eyes.
Flamekin's turn. She's going to move more earth. Anybody down with her? So I assume Glim.
Yeah.
Moot, you are.
I'm pretty close by.
So you feel like the ground begin to tremor, for lack of a better term. Like it's losing structure. So you feel probably pretty soon that you're going to be able to get through or fall through, one of the two. But not on her turn as she continues to do that. Agoth, it's back to you. This thing is right in your face.
Sweet.
Your lance is kind of sticking out halfway mm-hmm. through both, you know, both sides of this creature. Little ping of a slingshot just zip by. What do you want to do?
How close am I to one of the cavern walls?
How did you position yourself in the center of this room when you ran in? Did you back yourself against a wall?
No, I would have like been trying to put Matamar somewhere safe and then like been in the center for maximum mobility.
Sure. I think we said like 30 to 50. So you're with the torch kind of lit into the ground. You're probably in like that 15 to 20
Sweet.
Range from the nearest wall.
All right, so I have an idea. I have a vision.
Love it.
Let me know what I imagine. We've got this big buggy head with its weird compound eyes right in her face.
Yeah.
Agath would love to, like, grin, take in the battle moment, and headbutt it in the head as hard as she can. And I have something called Shield Shove, and I'm wondering if I can sort of use that and color it to, like, I would like to run this thing with the lance into a wall and try and pin it on a wall like a stupid bug in one of those displays.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so you're going to... So I guess probably a straight up strength or athletics check.
Sweet,
to see, you know, A, are you able to push it? And B, do you have enough speed to get it into the wall?
So that's a 19 on the dice plus 9, so a 28.
Oh yeah.
Then, yeah, absolutely. The scene plays out exactly like that. You bear down on this lance and with all your might begin like charging towards this creature whose limbs are like beyond you right now as you've moved in close to it and skewer it to the wall. It takes... I don't think any additional damage because it's already through it. But you hear it like pierce into the stone behind you. And as you take a step back, not entirely so much as to take an mm-hmm. attack or anything like that, you feel like you've stuck it to the wall.
Sweet. That is the shield shove is technically a bonus action. Can I still do my attacks? Or
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I'm going to say the first one was the headbutt. So I'll do like an unarmed one for that guy.
Okay.
Natural 20.
Nice.
On the headbutt.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
That's just 4 damage straight up. I don't think there's a dice, so I guess it doesn't double on the natural 20, which is too bad, but oh well.
Well, I mean, we can say it doubles. It's fine.
Well, yeah. It definitely is double.
And then I'll pull out, now that the lance is a nice bug pin, I'll just pull out my double-bladed scimitar and take the other two attacks with that.
All right.
15, I think, is a no, right?
15 was no, yep.
And then 17.
17 will hit.
So that's another 7 damage on that one.
Okay. So yeah, you hit it hard with your head, which kind of reels it back and closer to the wall. You swing your scimitar the first time and miss just based on its movement, and then strike in the second time. More of this luminescence like flares out of it and it's like scatters across the room and onto the ground beside you.
I like to imagine I got doing like a big, you know, wipe of the face, the bioluminescence off.
It's awesome.
She's having fun now.
Yeah. In her element.
Anything else you would like to do?
It's like with the thaumaturgy still going, never mind, no rush.
I got this one.
Take your time.
At that, you do hear like a rumbling sound coming back from the way you came.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
There's 12 more.
Maybe. Moot.
Are we able to see like any kind of daylight, for lack of a better term?
We don't see any nightlight coming from below. Okay. You do, the ground beneath you is less sturdy. You feel like there's certainly movement in it. It's not as compacted as it was before. You do hear the sounds of the battle below you more clearly. So you get, you do have a solid sense that something extraordinary could push this through, perhaps on this turn.
All right. How does everybody feel about a lightning bolt on the spot if I get everyone clear?
If you warn us, great.
Yeah.
I mean, would that work, Russ? Thoughts?
He's a lightning
like, there's
bolt.
There's only one way to know.
There's only one way to know. No. Yeah. So do you want to cast it on this turn is what your goal is, yes? In a perfect world?
Wait. Okay. Okay. What about Thunderstep?
Thunderstep could be good. I guess
could show up and make that little like sonic boom type
that,
thing.
That I could get on board with not hurting anybody. Lightning a little less believable that it based on the way we're working this, like that they'd be able to move out of the way and not be take some damage. Thunderstep though, you're blasting it down, that could cave the thing in, sure.
Okay. I look forward to tumbling down with it.
Perhaps, who knows?
Moot kind of light ball moment says, everybody out of the way, out of the way, out of the way. I got this.
Okay, you got it, Mootsy.
Sully scurries up a tree.
Yeah, you weren't even down in the hole. You're like, I'm out.
Yeah. Yep. And I think Glim uses this opportunity to put her very dirty chest plate back on.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, I will cast Thunderstep, so I'll teleport to the spot I want to be, which is like 4 feet away from where I already am, but that's fine.
It's the showmanship of it.
Yeah, exactly, right? Thunderous boom will sound where I disappear from. So I guess I want to be in the hole and disappear from the hole. Okay, there we go. So I disappear out of the hole, leaving behind a thunderous boom that will do 20 thunder damage.
Okay, yeah. So you give the call to move out of the way. Give me a call.
Everybody, clear out, clear out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be up here.
Thunderous boom echoes out and the ground like heaves down, I presume you teleport like off into the wall of it at least. So maybe you slide down, you reappear on the wall and begin cascading down with this earth
like
a badass.
Totally like surfing it down.
That's right.
Surfing down.
Yeah. Flamekins and Glim, the ground gives way beneath you. Same thing. You've kind of scattered off to the side. Perhaps not quite as gracefully as Moot, but you are still looking pretty cool riding down into this. Agoth, you hear this loud clap that comes from the cavern above you and behind you now because you've moved to the other side. The earth begins to fall in and you see your travel companions cascading into this space. Anything you want to do after that or can do after that? Roll a wild magic surge?
I can definitely do that. That's a 16.
I think we're still good because we triggered one the last time we did this, so probably at a 3 or 4 right now. Okay. Love it. You cascade into this space. Sully, you have moved up a tree.
Yeah, I'm
you
in
see,
a tree.
You see your friends fall down into this hole. So you now see this black pit. A little bit of the light from the day. You can see them beginning to move towards and into this cavern. You don't quite see the creature from this position, but you do have an ability to go down this hole now.
Instead of doing that...
I'm going to tattoo myself.
No. Scully. Ah!
Oh.
Scully!
Well, because I said Sully scurried last time, and now just Scully is stuck in my head. I know what my character is called. Sully instead shimmies down this tree, takes a rope out of his pack, ties it around the tree, comes over, and throws it down the hole.
Okay.
And just waits at the top. You guys got this?
I mean, maybe.
Well, just let me know. I'm just going to stay up here so someone can pull you up.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I am the smallest.
Madamar now Yeah.
Well, I've got Rex up here. Oh, Rax sorry, up Glim. Here, right?
Yeah. I skipped. Rax. Sorry again, Glim. I skipped you and Sully in turn there. Your turn.
Okay, so I'm down there now?
You are down there now, yes.
And when I look around, I just see that a goth has, like, a giant bug creature pinned to the wall, but it's still writhing?
Still very much writhing, trying to get at her.
Okay.
So, yeah, seeing as you come down, big bug skewered onto the wall, a goth within its reach. So it's trying to, like, claw at her. Matamar, you see a little tuft of hair off into the side. Very well hidden.
Perfect.
Bioluminescence, kind of scattered, blood splatter kind of vibe. You do hear also now that the dirt is settling and cascading in, a rumbling from deeper within the cave. Sounds like earth movement or the movement of a lot of feet or creatures coming down from a left cavern.
Maybe just a couple creatures that have a lot of feet.
Yeah, it's just two with a lot of feet.
All right.
And they're not even big.
Like a Mario Wiggler. And we woke them.
Don't wake it.
And do I see the rope hanging down there?
Yeah.
Perfect. Matamar, maybe just, there's a rope and I'm going to attack that creature and try and, you know, like chop its head off or whatever. So that is a, 32.
Huh.
And then also,
Chris is like, what's taking her so long?
This is two double digit numbers. Carrie? I need to add.
She
up.
Rolled and two D20s. That's
21.
What she gets. Yeah.
21 and okay. 32. Are those going to hit?
Yeah.
This pinned bug?
You betcha. Both will.
Bug that can't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Great. So that is going to be 31 piercing and then 2 radiant. Read my character sheet, guys.
Very piercing, slightly godlike.
Sweet, yeah. You charge into this room and a couple big hits and like it's no longer stuck, but it's because you've cleaved into this thing. So the you now realize that, yeah, of course, the bioluminescence is coming out of this creature, and it's now covering you, your blade and your arms, and moving down to the ground. Out of the as it lets out like this final death cough, you see down this, like you have a clear shot down this one tunnel where the sound appears to be coming from, and the stones are loosening off the walls, and you see. What looks like a mass of this light moving down the hallway. Kind of like, what's the poster, the horror movie, Slither? Like all the, like the leech looking things.
Oh, it was the girl in the bathtub?
That's the one, yeah.
Okay guys, let's go. Let's go, there's a rope, let's go.
Matamar has already bolted. He actually loosed a slingshot like as it was happening and like it goes like wide and ding. But is climbing back up the way. If we go back up to the top, Flamingkins is going to try to close the cavern before she leaves.
Hey, Moot, you want to let some light go and I'll close the cave?
Yeah, that sounds great. And like Moot like pushes up his sleeves like, oh, okay, here we go.
Okay, so these two spells happening like almost simultaneously as these creatures are bursting forth into this space and lightning is released into them, blowing them back. And this shrill, like high-pitched, tiny screams are coming from all of these different individual creatures, blasting them back. And then the mold earth closes down this cavern, leaving open the one to the right still. But blocking them in so that they cannot break free and come attack you. Everybody's trying to get back up the rope as far as the last call was.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea.
Love it. After that, everybody else is making their way back up the rope. where you make it back to the top. Moot and Flamykins are the last to come. You kind of wait a moment just to make sure that they have stopped and that they're not going to break through. You give it a moment, and it doesn't appear that they've done so. Flamykins begins to move the earth back down a little bit, trying to get it to collapse back in on itself. It's not working as well because it's blown open quite considerably. It says, well, that's a... That was a time, wasn't it? Yeah, you doing okay, Agatha? What'd you see down there?
The bioluminescence was pretty before it started trying to kill us.
Oh.
The giant bugs are not as pretty, but have a very satisfying crunch.
Very cool. Very cool.
Thank you for the assistance.
Oh, well, we had to figure out a way to get down there, and fortunately, I was reminded that I know how to do some pretty cool shit. otherwise, it sounded like we were going to leave you there. Not going to lie, Sully did mention it. Sully's busy untying the rope over there. We don't have to talk about it. Not a lot of blame, but just remember, if there's like a life or death situation... Could go either way.
The mission must continue.
That's right. That's right.
Dungeons & Dragons, Season 2, Episode 125. Starring Amy Moore as Sullivan Slight, Carla Maxted as Glim, Tom Laird as Moot, Kristen Flemons as Agoth, and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Editing, production, and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Devin Michaels, Craig Zeiss, Aaron Stevens, Darylith, Lulahan, L.A. Branton, Alex Sarin, Perry Mathey, Nathaniel Teeter, and Nicholas Cooper. To support Dungeons & Dragons and our many other productions and get access to an exclusive podcast called The Adventures Of, bonus episodes, and much more, please join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. You can also follow us at facebook.com/dumbdragonpodcast and on Instagram and Twitter at dumbdragoncast. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. We'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he took our shut ups to heart.
No, I'm just thinking of the perfect way to get into this. Because while I put point form notes, I don't create ins or outs.
Russ did take a gummy. Watch how you got it.
I did not. It's a liberal pour on the wine, but no gummy. It's fine.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Edgar said to the interviewer he was convinced that the thing out there wasn't a vault.
Yeah, I know what he thought.
Dr. Edgars didn't think it was designed to keep things out.
I know what he thought.
He thought it was designed to keep something in.
Do you even understand the difficulty trying to keep a base like Fathom at the bottom of the ocean from killing everyone in it on a daily basis?
Oh my God.
Everyone hold on to something. I think whatever is on the other side of that door out there, it's not friendly. I think it's trying to get out. That, my friend, is a dire combination.
That's a bad sign.
Get out of the door!
Spreading like some kind of technological contagion. We can either stop it here or watch the world burn.
Fathom, the first season of Derelict. Listen wherever you get your podcasts or learn more at derelictpodcast.com.